I can see. Where's Steve? Where's Steve? There's Steve. Are we live? Almost. Getting there. Oh, getting closer. Good morning. All right. All right. I want to start with a word of prayer and then let's get to worship. Amen. All right, we have some good stuff. We're going to sing some praises to the Lord. We're going to get in the Word. We got some testimony for you today. And so it's a good day to worship. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we come to lift your name on high. Lord, we do come to glorify you. And so we just ask, Lord, if there's anything in our hearts right now that are actually hindering us from worshiping you, from following you, from listening to you, from being able to hear. I pray and I ask that, Lord, you would draw that out, that, Lord, you would make it clear that, Lord, those things we need to repent of, we would repent of right now, Lord, so that we can truly worship you, as your word says, with a pure heart. And so, Father, we just want to thank you that you would send your son. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for shedding your blood that we could be purified, that we could be cleansed, that we could worship the one and only true God. And so we come today to do so. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. This is for your sake and for your glory. Amen.
Hello? Check. There we are. Good morning. Thanks for standing. We're going to start off with some scripture. Mikey?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Amen. We don't have a drummer today, so if you got rhythm, help us out.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud. We know he's coming back. We know that he's coming back. We know he's coming back. We know that he's coming back.
Have you ever thought that the world has kind of lost its way? Crazy as it seems, yeah, I know it's gonna be okay. It doesn't scare me, it's temporary. There's something better we got forever. And it won't be long, cause we know our help is on the way. So keep your head up. Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. And don't you give up. Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. And when the world gets complicated, we're gonna keep on celebrating.
There's a new day and we're gonna sing hallelujah when the King arrives.
You know you gotta keep your head up.
Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. Now don't you give up. Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. And when the world gets complicated, we're gonna keep on celebrating. We know. Are you ready? Are you ready? People get ready. People get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? People get ready. People get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? People get ready. People get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? People get ready. People get ready.
And keep your head up.
Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, so don't you give up. Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, and when the world gets complicated, we're gonna keep on celebrating, cause we know. Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, so keep your head up. Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, and don't you give up. Are you ready? Are you ready? People get ready. People get ready.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
People get ready.
People get ready.
Ooh, are you ready? Are you ready?
Jesus is coming back.
Wanna celebrate it.
Are you ready? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. So keep your head up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Great thou art.
Just So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Amen.
Amen. We do have a good Father, don't we? You may be seated, and children, you are dismissed.
Not yet. Not yet for the children. Not yet for the children. They'll be running amok.
Hi, I'm Jessica, Children's Director, and I'm giving my testimony today. So I didn't grow up knowing the Lord or knowing very many people that knew about God. My household, we believe that being a good person would get you to heaven, and clearly the Bible does say that Jesus is the only way, that he's the one to get you to heaven, and he gives us righteousness and into God's eyes. And sorry, I'm nervous. And that, you know, I had a great supportive family, and we're still really close. And I didn't notice him into my life until I worked for a vet clinic, and the vets were religious. There were two Mormons and one Catholic, and I was always open to hearing about God and asking questions. But one of our conversations led to, if I was truly seeking God, to ask for a sign, and he provided that sign. So that night I prayed and I went to sleep, and I was woken up by like a really bright light in my room, and I'm like blind without my glasses or contacts or anything. So I went to go get my glasses and it was gone. And I looked outside and I've seen like car lights come into my light, and it was like such a bright light, I can't explain it, but I just believe it was like a heavenly presence. A few weeks later, I was working at the vet clinic on a Saturday, and it was right before balloon races, and a balloon landed right next to my car, and it said, "What would Jesus do?" Yeah. And I've looked for that balloon every year, and I've never seen it ever since. I went to Summit, and I liked it, but I was like, oh, I don't need to go to church to believe in God, so I didn't continue. Years later, I had children, and I was pushed out of the veterinary field, and I became a substitute teacher at Washoe County School District. And I know, looking back, that God used that in my life to where I'm at now. Just acquiring those skills for me being the director and to teach these little ones. And I came here about that time with the transition. It was about 8 years ago is when this happened. And 6 months later, I gave my life to Jesus during a song, during worship. I surrender all, and I just believe the Holy Spirit entered me. I felt this overwhelming power that I've never felt before, and it just brought me to tears. And since walking with the Lord, my husband has been delivered from alcoholism, and he's coming to church now, and he's using me to teach up these little ones. And I went back into the veterinary field about 2 years ago, and right now, God has me surrendering my career again to homeschool my children, so in June, I will be doing that, and I'm excited to where this adventure is going to go, because I feel like it's going to be something else, maybe within this ministry and stuff, so I'm excited to see what he's going to do and how he's going to use me. And I'm going to end this with, since I'm the director, and we really do need help. I need more second adults in classrooms and teachers. We're willing to train. We're not just going to throw you in there, and it's once a month. And if you're able to help, just please find me at the end of service. We really do need help to continue this growth that's happening. And just thank you for all the people that do help with this ministry. Thank you.
All right, now the children are dismissed. and so definitely need children's workers. We got Vacation Bible School coming up and stuff you'll see on the bulletin board. And I was asked by somebody last night in Lovelock if we were going to be able to do a Vacation Bible School up there this summer as well. And so here's the thing. I'm just being truthful here. I had to say I'm not sure, because I'm not sure if we have enough workers who would be committed to go do a mission trip like that and have a Vacation Bible School. So it's just one of those things. Just be praying about where your part might be in that. It's a really easy mission trip because you get to play with kids, right? You get to teach them the Bible. You get to have all kinds of fun stuff. There's water day because it's in summertime. It's all kinds of stuff, but it's really a good opportunity here and in Lovelock and wherever. It's even worth taking time off of work to come and help out, just so you know. Some of you might be saying, listen, I'm not feeling called to kids. Don't let your feelings keep you from being obedient to what the Lord's called you to, all right? Because there's a lot of things I don't feel, right? I don't feel like making my mortgage payment because I'd like to spend the money on something else. I don't feel like, you know, there's a lot of things. I don't feel like eating my vegetables before I get ice cream. No, that's not true. I eat those too. Just true. Now, here's the thing. Listen, church, this is what we're gonna get to a little bit of this today. It's not about what we feel, right? Now, sometimes your feelings have to catch up. Right? And being obedient to Christ isn't about what you feel, because if it was all just about what you would feel, your walk with Christ would mirror that. And so as we come and we praise the Lord, we praise him because he's worthy. We praise him because he deserves glory, not because we always feel like it, right? Yeah? Yeah. Amen. All right. There's stuff on the sign-up sheet, on the bulletin board, different sign-up sheets, this, that, and the other. We will be starting our new believers, new members class again on the 23rd, which is, I believe, next Sunday at 9:30. We will also have, a next steps class, this, that, and the other. So make sure that you get signed up for one of those. Like I said, there's all kinds of stuff to do. We have all kinds of lots of fun around here. And so don't get caught up in it's just something else to do. No, just ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Today we're going to finish Romans, okay? We've been going through Romans. A couple things. When we moved into this building, we started two things. We started Romans on Sunday morning and Revelation on Thursday nights. We finished Revelation and now we're into Isaiah, but we're just really close, okay? I was making my sermon for today, and I was like, man, there's like 27 points. Like, I could make Romans stretch out another month, right, in these two verses. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Because I'm excited to get into 1 Corinthians. I'm excited to finish Romans 2. There's some really good stuff in these last few verses of Romans chapter 16, but we're going to move right on into 1 Corinthians next, and so that's where we're going to get started. I got some little books that we'll get into, and I'll explain those next week. But as we get into this study, we're going to have some gifts for our guests. We have some deals, and some of you who maybe don't have a Bible, or you have a Bible that, but you're afraid to take notes in, we have these scripture journals that we will be having for 1 Corinthians. And so they're really, really cool. Actually, I used mine when I preached through Revelation. That's actually what I took all of my notes in. So it has the scripture and a place to take all of your notes. And there are these little, is that one of those right there? You lift that up? That's one, okay. It's for Romans, not for 1 Corinthians, otherwise she'd be ahead of the game. So anyway, we'll have some of those for guests, and some of those, if you're interested in wanting one of those, please come and see me next week, or talk to the greeters and just beg and plead and just, you know, or ask nicely, I don't know, and they'll give you one, okay? But that's for 1 Corinthians. Those are really cool. But before we get into 1 Corinthians, we're going to finish Romans. It's been a good journey in Romans. We've seen a lot of things. We've come to understand some doctrine and some doctrine more clearly for some. There's so much in here, we really just, man, couldn't even cover it all. John Piper, I believe, took 2 years to go through Romans, and I know that he didn't just, he could have even taken longer. So there's so much in here. Today there are just 4 points in these last 3 verses. We're going to read Romans 16, verses 25 through 27, we're going to get here, and it's, this is the end of Romans, which sounds, or mirrors, or clarifies, or just carries on in a stronger way, the same thing he started the letter with, right? You ever write a letter, and then you start out with your points, and then at the end, or text message, let's go with text message. You send a text message, and then you're kind of wordy in it, and then you, at the end, you re-say what you were, your main point that you said in the beginning, because you're like, man, I might have just messed everything up. And it's easier just to retype than just delete all that, right? Type, 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 delete, 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 delete. No, just keep typing, just keep typing, just keep typing. So this is kind of what happens in Romans here. So Paul starts off with a couple of things in the letter of the Romans, and then he ends with the same thing. And so we're going to get to it. I have 4 points. 4 points. One is going to be the power of God, the gospel of Christ, the call to evangelize, and the praise of God. And so those are the points. I will recall them as we go. But if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's word. Romans 16, we're going to start at verse 25. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Now you remember the last portion, maybe you won't remember, the last portion Paul's been encouraging and thanking everybody who is a part of the ministry and everybody who's been a part of helping him and here in Rome and all this stuff. And so he's given a bunch of thanks and praise to God for all of these different people. And so this is the end. Here's the last portion. Verse 25. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen. One long sentence. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you, Lord, and we do continue to ask that, Lord, we would glorify you. Lord, not just in this time, but Lord, as we leave this place, that our lives would continue to glorify you, that we would continue to praise your name, that we would continue in the obedience of our faith. And so we want to thank you and we want to praise you. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would make this known to us, that you would make this real to us, that, Lord, you would empower us. And so no matter where we started this morning, we would walk out of here closer to you, conformed more to the image of your Son, Lord, so that the world would know who you are. In your name, for your sake, amen. Please have a seat. So here's here's the end of the letter. Here's this doxology. And so, like I mentioned, it's one sentence here. And so, excuse me. One sentence here. So we're just going to cover some stuff. This is the wrap-up of Romans. And so he turns this now, he turns the from these are my fellow workers and these are my friends and these are the people who are honoring the gospel and using their gifts and all this stuff. It turns from there to, okay, here's the thing. We need to refocus on Christ here. We need to refocus on God. And so he refocuses here on God. And it can hardly be an accident that in the end of the letter to the Romans is just like the beginning, and there's a reference in both of them to the power of God through the gospel. You remember in chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is what? The power to save, right? He's not ashamed of the gospel because it has the power, it is the power to save who? Everyone who would believe. And so the beginning starts with this power and it ends with this power. Because you ever need help with something, right? You never need help. Anybody ever tried to do the impossible? Right? Because honestly, what happens in the us evangelizing, in us, well, here, let's just cover it truthfully like this. And in order for you to understand, be obedient, share the gospel. You need a power that is not your own. You can't do any of those things without the power of God moving you along, helping you, having you to understand, having you to live it, having you to share it. And so there's this power that we need, and it's not a power. Here's the thing. When we edify one another, when we come together and we have church and we love on each other and we encourage each other and sometimes we rebuke each other, when all of this happens, this is still the power of God working in us collectively for the advancement of the gospel. We still need the power of God for any of those to take place. Listen, we can't understand. Romans earlier, you remember, he said, listen, we were all sinners, all of us. There was nobody righteous. And so something had to take place for us, first of all, to understand that. Who loves to be wrong? Right? But the truth is, we don't like being called sinners. But the gospel is very clear. The Bible is very clear. You see, the gospel is so impactful once we understand we're sinners. And we can't even understand we're sinners unless the Lord comes and brings conviction. We talked about a little bit in men's study on Wednesday night about how one of the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the world of sin. You see, apart from Christ, you were the world. You are the world. And so you need to be convicted of your sin to be able to respond to the gospel. There's a power that's needed. I know some of you are geniuses in all this, and some of you, just hear me out, some of you are rarely wrong, okay? Some of us, okay? Are rarely wrong. And you know, in order for you to be convinced that, guess what, you ain't got it all together, it's going to take something more powerful than your own ego. And so this is where the power of God comes in. Because here's the thing. How many people have tried to tell you that, guess what, you have an ego problem, or you have a pride problem, or you don't know everything. You've been told. And did it work? No. You walk in just the same amount of pride. And so it's not until the power of God, through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, telling you, convincing you, letting you know you're not all that. And that you need a Savior. See, that takes a power. And so the reason Paul starts and ends is because he doesn't want us to think, especially after this thanking everybody, he doesn't want us to think that this is something we can do in our own strength. This is something we can do in our own power. The word he actually uses is sterizo. It's a form of sterizo. Sounds familiar, right? You ever see them great big old muscle men, bodybuilder guys? What do you think instantly? Just say it out loud. Steroids, right. Steroids, that's where we get this word. Because there's a certain, you cannot physically, here's the thing. You cannot physically be like that without something else giving you the strength and the power to do so. So we get the word steroid because it's something from the outside that you put inside to strengthen, to establish, to build up. And so our word steroid comes from this word. And so it's used in the gospel just a couple of times in the New Testament. But it means to establish. It means to strengthen. And so what is he strengthening? What needs to be strengthened? Well, here in this scripture, there's a few things that need to be strengthened. And I want you to listen to this, church. I want you to listen to this because you're in here somewhere. There's three things that we need the power of God for. First of all, to strengthen you in your faith or in the truth, right? Against error. You need the power of God to convince you what truth is. Listen, you live in a time, you live in an age, we live in a culture. And not the whole world, but we definitely live in a culture where the truth gets to be anything you want it to be according to how you feel. That doesn't make it truth. And there are so many things taking place because people want to feel a certain way or they want to think something specific. And we don't even have to get into all of this stuff and we don't have to turn this into something political. Watch the news, read the papers, listen to how people talk. We're letting adults make decisions for children because of a statement that they said when the children don't understand. How many of your children you would just let run your whole entire house? Anybody got a kid? You're like, here's the deal. It's in charge. So we are making decisions based on some word or some statement these children, right, are making, and we're changing their whole rest of their life. Because we want truth to be based on a feeling. And your feelings are fleeting. And so you need to be strengthened in your faith. We need to be strengthened in our faith in the truth. Listen, it takes faith to be like, okay, this is the word of God and this is the only truth. What is in Jesus Christ is the truth. And that's it. And so I need to focus on that. I need to stick with that. You need a power because there's a lot of things working against you saying that not only is this not true, but you get to make this say what you want it to. All the demonic forces are working against the Word of God, pushing, trying to encourage you to change this. And so we need a greater power to convince us, to move us along, to let us know and be reassured that his word is the truth. That when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, those things only come through Jesus, by Jesus, for Jesus. And so when he said, I am the truth, it means all truth is in Christ. And you're like, well, there's all kinds of things. Trust me, in Christ, you'll find the truth to your situation. You'll find the truth to whatever questions you're asking in Christ. And that's the only place you'll find the truth. And so we need a power of God. We need something greater than us. We need something greater than the world. Look at how the world's operating. The world is under the control of Satan. You remember when he offers Jesus certain things, when he's tempting Jesus, he offers him the worship of the world, he offers him all these things. You'll notice, Jesus never says it wasn't his to offer. And you're like, well, wait a second. Everything is Christ's. Everything is God's. Right, but he's allowing certain things. Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. And so all of that is working against the truth. Because the enemy doesn't want you to believe the truth. And so your faith that this is true, and even if I don't completely understand it, you see, this is where the faith of God steps in and says, okay, well, I might not completely understand it, but I know that God said it. And I know that Jesus affirmed it. Jesus made it clear, and so it's just the truth whether I understand it or not. You might not be in a place to go and preach it yet, but you're in the place to just say, okay, by faith, I'm going to trust in Christ. By faith, I'm going to trust in the Word of God. Lord, give me the power, give me the strength. Listen, the strengthening. You need to be strengthened in your faith. That this is just the Word of God. That's it. Against error. There are so many people that are just running around and be strengthened in your faith of the truth. Don't be led astray by people who are just trying to focus on everybody who might not be sharing the truth. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Ask the Lord to clarify, ask the Lord Don't ask the Lord to send you somebody to clarify. Ask the Lord who has sent the Holy Spirit to convince you of his word. Ask him to convince you. God will confirm it in different ways. We just have this tendency to think that, okay, if I'm walking with God, everything I think and everything I say must be godly. Wrong. Peter was right next to Jesus and said, Jesus, that'll never be. And what did you turn? Peter, get behind me, Satan. Only God has the power to convince us, to strengthen our faith, to keep us free from error, to help us to know. You need to be strengthened in your holiness. This is what he's been talking about. In your holiness. And you're like, well, wait a second. Here we go. Now there's a church word. How about this? Against temptation. We get afraid of some church words. God calls us to be holy. And so sometimes we think, oh, well, that now there's this standard that now I have to meet up to. Bingo, you're right. But the realization that you can't meet that, you can't be holy in yourself, you can't avoid temptation, you can't run from it unless God gives you the power, unless God gives you the insight, unless the Holy Spirit says, hey, listen, this thing that's getting ready to pop up on your computer, you need to be able to just click it, or turn off the computer, or turn away from this, or leave this situation. But man, this sounds good. And I've been here before. You see, that's the temptation. And again, we don't get to blame all of our temptation on Satan. You don't get to blame all of your sin. Yes, trust me, he will tempt you. He will tempt you. He will put things in your way or in front of you. He will whisper little words that sound really, really good. But when you bring them against the truth of Christ, you see, so you need to be strengthened in your faith. You need to be strengthened in your holiness. You can't live a holy life apart from God doing it in you, leading you, keeping you free from temptation. Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to be gone, but he gives you the strength. You need to be strengthened in it. And every time you trust in God, and every time you stand in faith, the temptation, as it gets stronger, you also get stronger. This word strengthen, every time you resist temptation, you get stronger. And you're like, well, yeah, but the temptations are getting stronger. That's because you're getting stronger. You know those big old muscle heads I was talking about in the gym? They got all them great big old muscles. It wasn't just the steroids. It still takes a whole lot of hard work. Because you get used to something. And so you're like, wait a second, I need resistance. You know what happens to a muscle to make it grow? It actually has to be broken or torn. And then when it's repaired, the right nutrients, this is where the steroids come in, the right nutrients are applied to those muscles, and so they get stronger, and so it takes more to break them. When your faith is strengthened, when your holiness is strengthened, the temptations are going to be greater. But as the temptations are greater, he who is in me is still greater than anything in the world. And so as the temptation gets stronger, you're still getting stronger if you're remaining in Christ. Listen, only God can strengthen your faith. Only God can strengthen your holiness. And only God can strengthen you in your courage or your unity. Now, this is against persecution. Because as you're strengthened in your faith, as you're strengthened in your holiness, people are going to start to persecute you. They're going to call you things like a Jesus freak. Or they're going to continue and be like, hey, you know what? You used to make these jokes with us. Or, hey, you used to go and get drunk with us. Or, hey, you used to do this. That's persecution. That's most of what we face right now. Lord willing, it'll get stronger. You say, Pastor, how can you ask for it to be stronger? Because here's the thing. If we're walking in the Lord and we're being strengthened in our faith, we're being strengthened in our holiness, we're going to be strengthened in our courage. Because it's only when the persecution comes that the churches actually step up and grow. The persecution comes to Jerusalem and it's the growth of the church. It's actually what starts. What do you think helped Paul to continue? He knew he was preaching the truth because he kept getting persecuted for it. The truth is, the power of God is very powerful. And sin and Satan and sinners don't like to hear it. And so when you share it, things are going to come. Persecution's going to come. I was talking with Julie earlier. We were talking about the Fox's Book of Martyrs and how it records, it's a story or a book of how these people were martyred. I'm just going to say it simply like that. And it has these stories about how the apostles were martyred and all these different people martyred, and you start hearing about these tortures and all these things that they had to face, and you're like, okay, how did they manage that? Right? Because I don't like pain. Right? I don't like it when I smash my finger with a hammer on accident. I definitely wouldn't like it if somebody's doing it to me on purpose. And one is much worse than the other. And so these guys face crucifixion. These guys face boiling oil. These guys face being lit on fire. These guys face all kinds of things, which is what we would call persecution. And so the question is, how in the world did they handle that? How did they do it? Well, first of all, they were strengthened in their faith. They were strengthened in their holiness, and then God strengthened them in their courage. Listen, as God works in all of these areas, we will be the church. But we can only do this when He strengthens us, when He strengthens those things in us. Now listen, don't resist. I don't want to say that you're stronger than God, because you're not. Just if you were thinking, oh, you know what, I'm stronger than God. No. If you resist, He doesn't do His work in you. That doesn't make you stronger. It just means you don't want it. He's not going to give it to you. And so He's not going to spend His time if you don't want it. If you don't want your faith to be strengthened, if you don't want to be more holy. Some of you are like, Lord, I want you to strengthen my faith, but I'm really good with my life and the holiness where it is. Like, you mean you don't want something, you don't want Him to get rid of something in your life. You don't want to have to be dependent on Him instead of dependent on this substance. Whatever it is. And maybe you don't want to do that because you're afraid that it's going to lead to some persecution. And so you're like, okay, God, just strengthen my faith, but just leave the rest. And He's like, no, it's not how it works. If I strengthen your faith, I have to strengthen your holiness. Because your faith is going to motivate you to do something. Listen, it's one of the things, to be obedient to the faith. So your faith is what you do with it. It's going to motivate you. It's an action word. Your faith is lived out. Your belief is lived out. And so you're going to need to be strengthened in your holiness. And you're going to need to be strengthened in your courage. You see, it's a life that's just submitted to Christ. It's a life that wants to be changed and conformed to the image of Christ, not the image of, Lord, I'm just going to kind of make this happen the way I want it to. You just saved me. I want my insurance from hell so I don't have to go to hell. And then I got the rest from here. God says that's not obedience. That's you still playing God. Because when you say, you know what, Lord, save me, but just save me from the penalty. Don't save me for what deserves the penalty. I'm just going to keep on going in that. That's still just you playing God. That's just what it is. And so we need a power greater, and that power is the gospel. Paul says it's according to the gospel. He he says a couple of things here. There's three things here. He says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ and according to the revealing of the mystery. And so there's and there's a few things here. When it says my gospel and the preaching of Christ and the revealing of the mystery, some of you are like, well, wait a second. Aren't those all the same? Kind of, sort of, but not really. Does that answer it? Yeah, kind of, sort of, but not really. Okay, here's what's happening. Paul's not saying that the gospel only belongs to him. What he's saying when he says my gospel is he says the gospel that was delivered to me, that saved me, that was also entrusted to me to share. And so when he says, my gospel, he says, listen, it's my gospel because I was saved by this gospel. It's mine. Anybody, when you wake up or when you pray before you go to bed or something like that, you use words like this, Jesus, my Jesus. Anybody? Man, yeah. Sometimes Sometimes it's the only prayer that I have. Jesus, my Jesus. Because I don't know what to do. I don't know where to. I don't know. Jesus, my Jesus. So I just need the truth of the gospel, that the gospel is mine. And so when he says my gospel, he's not saying he's the only one who has the gospel. He's not saying anything like that. What he's saying is it's personal to him. It's his personal gospel because it saved him. Jesus Christ came to him and delivered the gospel. And so he's like, it's my gospel. And then Jesus Christ came to him and said, now take this gospel. And so he takes his gospel. It's one of the reasons we do testimonies. Right? My gospel. My gospel. What's your gospel? And obviously your gospel is not going to change. The gospel means good news. It's not going to change. But it affected you different, but the same. Because if it affected you and if it drew you to himself and you confessed it, you've been saved. And so it's your gospel too. But when you're saved, it's your gospel to take and share. It's not your gospel to keep. And so he says, my gospel. And so the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And then the second part is the preaching. Holman says it like this. And the proclamation about Jesus Christ. You're saying, well, isn't that the gospel too? Yes, of course it is, because we know that Christ is the center of the gospel. We know why Christ came, right? But why did Christ come? And so when you say the proclamation of Jesus Christ, we always include the gospel as far as you're a sinner needing to be saved. Jesus came, was born of a woman, took your place on the cross, your penalty for the sins, was crucified, died, shed his blood, let his body be broken for your sins, died, was buried, was raised to prove that he was victorious, that you've been set free. That's the gospel, right? Now he sits at the right hand of God. That's the gospel. But Jesus taught a whole lot more than that. And so I'm going to say this. The gospel is not everything of Jesus, but Jesus is everything, including the gospel. Now, just hear me out. Because Jesus taught a whole lot of things. Jesus taught a whole lot of things, and we'll get to this at the end, but here's a little preview. Jesus took the Old Testament scriptures, and he just kind of upped the ante. And so the proclamation of Jesus, because you remember when he tells them, when he says to go and evangelize, which is going to be the next point, so we're just going to tie them all together. He says, go and make disciples, right, of everywhere, of all nations. And what does he say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what does he say? Teaching them to obey all I have commanded. And so the proclamation of Jesus Christ is, here's the thing. The gospel, he died for your sins so you could be one of his. Now let's get on to discipleship. Now let's get on to everything that Jesus taught. Now let's continue to proclaim all of Jesus and everything. Now here's the truth. If we just talked about the gospel, we would have enough to talk about in eternity, for eternity. Amen. But Jesus gave us so much more than that. He gave us so much more than that. And so the proclamation of Jesus Christ is more than the gospel. And you're like, do we need more than the gospel? No. You need the gospel to be saved. But then you need everything else that Jesus commanded, because when he saved you, he didn't just take you to heaven, because you're still here. I'm going to assume that, you know, at least some of you are saved. Right? And so he left you here. And so if he left you here, he said, here's how I want you to now live the rest of your life while you're here as a pilgrim. And so when we proclaim Jesus, it goes back to the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so we don't want to teach anything, even according to this life and how we live it, that's apart from what Christ said. Bless you. And revealing of the mystery. And so the gospel, you say, you know what? But they knew that a Messiah was coming, right? And so was it a mystery? excuse me. Was it a mystery? Well, here's the thing. Earlier in Romans, and Paul uses the word mystery many times throughout the New Testament. And he says, here's the deal. You only know the mystery that God has revealed, right? That's all we know. And so he's referring to not just the gospel, but the effect of the gospel. And so the revelation of the mystery in Romans 11, 25 and 26, this is what Paul says. And this is speaking of the mystery that God has revealed. Now, here's part of the mystery. And it goes back to the gospel, and it goes back to the power of God. It goes back to all of it. But listen to this. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own sight, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the full numbers of the Gentiles has come in, so that all Israel will be saved just as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And so here's the mystery. God chose the people. Why did he choose them? Because he chose them. They were not obedient. And Christ comes and he opens the gospel to the Gentiles. Now just hear me. We're not going to get, we just don't have time to unpack all this. This will be your homework. I'm just giving you very, and so he came and he opened the gospel to the Gentiles. And he opened the responsibility now of sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, to those who would be saved. And so Jews can be brought up, blah, blah, blah. Just bear with me. He says Israel, or the Jews, have been hardened so that the full number of Gentiles could be included. And then he's going to come back to Israel. And you're like, okay, why? That's the mystery. Because it's above our pay grade. Obedience is not about knowing all the answers. Obedience is about knowing what he's called you to do right now. We're in the age of the Gentiles. The number of the Gentiles is being fulfilled. That's the point of the gospel going out right now. And so that's the portion of the mystery. We don't know how, and here's the thing. Don't, all you Revelation people like, oh, we know this, this, this. Just here's the thing. We don't know how that's going to unfold completely yet. We can argue till the cows come home on all of that. Here's the deal. It's a mystery. Right now, this is the time. We're not in that age yet. We're in the age of the Gentiles. We're in the time where the numbers of the Gentiles is being fulfilled. Now, that does not mean that Israel can't be saved. Does not mean that Jews can't be saved. We have a couple of Messianic Jews in our own congregation. So it's not saying that they can't be saved. He's saying the nation of Israel has been hardened. People can still come to Christ. The responsibility has now been given to the church. And we're going to get on to the evangelism. Now, it takes a power of God to bring all of us crazies from all the different places and all the different beliefs and all the different countries and all the different economic systems and from absolutely everything and to make us one. Right? You look around. Now, don't call them out by name, but you look around and you're like, man, I sit in church with somebody I would never hang out with. No, seriously, it's not something, it's just, if we didn't have the shed blood of Christ uniting us, there are people in this church you would not spend any of the rest of your life with. And so that takes a power. Now, that's not good, bad, or indifferent. Just, if you took that as something negative, we'll meet in my office right after. There's just the truth to it. Now, there is some. I don't know everybody's sins, but man, if you knew everything that went on in here, you'd be like, if it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't be friends. That's the truth, and that brings us to the next point. You see, it's this gospel, it begins, here's the point of the mystery. Just remember this. When Paul talks about the mystery, just remember this. It begins with Jesus, it continues on with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. Okay? It's what you need. It's what you need to know. And so with that, he calls us to evangelize. Now, in this evangelism, God commands that the gospel be made known to all nations. He says, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles. And so there's about 4 or 5 points in this, right? But in these 3 verses, there are so many points. And so we're going through them somewhat quickly. So here's what happens. God is commanding that the gospel goes, that it goes out. Like, it's been revealed. The mystery's been revealed. The age has been revealed. All of these things have been revealed and have been made known and are being made known through the scriptures. Okay? Through the scriptures, through your Bible. And so all of the mystery and all of these things and all of the gospel and everything God commands is in your Bible. And so God says he's making this known through the Bible. Now listen, through the Bible to go everywhere. This is the part where he's calling us to evangelize, to bring about the advance of the obedience of faith. To the advance of the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles. So that means among all the nations. It doesn't mean like, oh, listen, you're a Jew, I can't give you the gospel. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that it needs to go to all nations. It needs to go out everywhere. In fact, remember, again, we're going to call it back to before he ascends. And he says, I want you to take the gospel to where? To Jerusalem, to Samaria, to? Huh? You know, the places, the other places, and Jesus, the places, right? The places. Everywhere. To the ends of the earth. And so that's where the gospel is to go out. This is where it is. And so this is the call to evangelize. It's being made known through the word. So the word of God, the gospel, according to the scriptures, has been made known to us, and God has commanded us to advance the gospel, to advance the obedience of faith. The gospel of faith, it needs to go out. John Stott said it like this: it is a faith which itself is obedient and which issues in a life of obedience. The truth of the scriptures, the truth of the gospel, is it when it impacts us, it leads us to a life of obedience. And so when we say, I love Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm just not going to be obedient to what he says. Jesus says, not only do you call God a liar, but you yourself are a liar. And you're like, man, that is hard. I'm glad I don't have to take it. I didn't come up with it. I just have to preach it. But you know what's even harder? I have to live it. This is why we need the power of God. We can't be obedient to what he's called us to unless he does something in us. And so how do we go and how do we call? Here's where the power really sets in. How do we call those disobedient to God to an obedience in God? Well, it's only by faith in Christ Jesus. This is where our testimony comes in. This is where, you know, when you've been delivered of something, you're like, man, I couldn't quit. But man, I placed my faith in Christ and he delivered me. He set me free. And so I'm telling you, you can do this in Christ and only in Christ. It's not like, you know what, I came to Jesus and then I did this and I did this and I did this. No. He did it. Listen, when you write your testimony and when you're thinking about your testimony, if he delivered you, then you haven't kept yourself clean or pure or sober or honest, right? You didn't do any of that now. If he set you free, he's the one who enabled you to continue the work. It's what he does. And so it's an obedience to the faith. It's an obedience to God. And so if you have a faith in Christ, but you're not obedient and you don't want to be obedient, that's still disobedience. Now, this is not one of those things where it's like, man, I still got some issues. This is like in your heart, you don't want to be obedient. In your heart, you're not going to forsake the sin. In your heart, you're not going to crucify yourself to be obedient to what he calls you to. I don't need to do that. I don't need to be obedient. I don't need to give. I don't need to give of my time. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to pray. I'll just trust that the Spirit's just going to lead me at the time. That's not obedient. How about this? I don't have to forgive. Or I don't have to love my neighbor. I don't have to love the people I go to church with. Jesus says, then the love of Christ ain't in you. And so there's no obedience if those things are active in your life. If you would make the statement like, I'm not going to forgive, I can't forgive, I can't, you've put the faith inside of yourself instead of in Christ. You see, obedience to the faith is a complete and utter dependence upon Christ. Listen, he's the one who's faithful. He's calling you to something that not only has he done, but he's done over and over and over and over and over and over again. How many of you, if you were just to think about it for a second, how many of you can think of at least one thing or one time that you know God did something in you or through you? Just put it up. Put your hand up. Right? Look around. Keep your hand up. You know that God did something in you or through you. Look around. I'm not going to count the hands, right? But that's a whole bunch right there. And so he's already been faithful. And he will continue to be faithful. I won't keep going with that. But the truth is, we're to call people to obedience of faith because of the gospel. Not because we told them and so they straightened up. You see, then you're playing God again. When you're calling people to obedience and faith, it's not so that you can say, I was right and you were wrong. Now, here's the true heart. Here's the true heart of evangelism. The true heart of evangelism is that you understand that people are not just dying, right? Because I think death is lost. You know, I think death has lost its sting. Sometimes you go to a funeral and you're like, ooh, okay. And then you walk away, man, I still got 50 years, whatever. Right? And so death has lost its sting. But here's the truth. When you understand that death leads to one of two things, okay? Death leads to either eternal punishment. This is according to the eternal God. So he's brought eternity into this because God is eternal. You were created to be eternal. And so there's either eternal torment or eternal blessing. And so when you see people, what we need to see is that, here's the thing, if they don't follow Christ, it's not that they're just going to die. What should strike our hearts is the fear of the wrath of God, that they will eternally live in a state facing God's wrath, but never perishing. Because we don't die. Listen, if you're in Christ, you die what? Once, but you live twice. Apart from Christ, you what? Die twice. You die physically, and then you're also dead spiritually, and you get cast into hell. And people don't like to hear that, but here's the truth. That shouldn't scare us for us if we're in Christ. That should scare us for those who are not in Christ. And so when we see people who are perishing, who are facing eternal damnation, that should strike our hearts. And so it shouldn't be like, neener, neener, I have it and you don't. It should be this, hey, you can have the same thing I have in Christ. Not because of me, it's because of him. And it's by him. You see, that's evangelism. That's taking the world. That's what empowers, right? That's the power of God that empowers these missionaries to go and to face certain death for some of them. To give up everything. Man, K.P. Yohannan, he's written a lot of books, but Revolution in World Missions. Get that book. He'll send it to you for free, right? Get that book. But he starts sharing about how... just how God moved in such an amazing way when God saved him and God called him to preach. And so anyway, he started coming to America, and he got caught up, right? He got caught up in being a pastor. And he says, next thing I know, he says, man, I'm driving down the road. He's like, I had a salary and I had a credit card. He's like, and I had just left the restaurant. He's like, and I had my cheeseburger and I had my Coke. He's like, I'm sitting here with all these luxuries. He's like, I'm eating my cheeseburger and I'm drinking my Coke. And he says, all of a sudden, the Lord says, is this what I called you to? Now, how many of you have had a cheeseburger and a Coke in the last week? Just come on. It's okay to enjoy your cheeseburger. Just hear me out. It's okay to enjoy that. Right? Double cheeseburger? Okay. It's lunchtime. Okay. But here's the truth of it. K.P. Yohannan had this call from the Lord that he wasn't supposed to be caught up in what this world is telling you is life. So this is what he does. So he prays and he asks the Lord to forgive him, and he goes to his church that next Sunday and says, I'm resigning as your pastor. He says, I've got to go and take the gospel to Asia.
So he gave up his salary, he gave up his credit cards, he gave up all of his comfort. Because God had called him to something else. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with being a pastor, but he understood that his call was something else. He got some great stories. I love to listen to him speak. But man, you read that book, read a lot of his books. So he takes it, and this is what he does. He ends up praising God. He praises God. This is what God calls us to. This is what Paul writes here. To him be the glory forever. Amen. But he says something here first. To the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. And so he says a few things here. That this is all through Christ, right? It's only because of Christ. It's by Christ. It's for Christ. He says, to the only wise God. Now, he's not saying that there's multiple gods and God is the only one who's wise. No, he means a couple of things. He means God who in everything is wise. So our wisdom comes from God. God is wisdom, right? And so the only wise God, listen, if you want answers, if you want anything, go to the one who only has wisdom. That's God. So he says, the only wise God. And so he's making a statement here. God is wise. And all this stuff, even if you're confused and there's mystery and all this kind of stuff, trust me, God is wise. He's got all the wisdom, and so you don't have to worry. Don't trust in your own. It doesn't matter, okay? So the only God, the only wise, the only creator belongs the glory. And he makes the statement that he's the only wise one, that he's the only one, because he's the only one deserving of glory. Now, all the glory belongs to God the Father because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, because of God's plan, because of the Holy Spirit, because of all of these things. But God, who is one, needs to be glorified forever. And so he's left us here. And so here's the thing. He's left us here to praise him, to give him glory. When you go through Revelation, Revelation is really, when you read Revelation, it's really a book of praise and God getting his glory. When some of you have been like, man, there's God's wrath and there's these bowl judgments and there's these trumpets and there's all this stuff that's taking place. Well, here's the thing. Read Revelation. Because every time, in chapter 4, after he writes the letters, well, just go through it. Chapter 4, after he calls the churches to repent, we see chapters 4 and 5, it's about praise. And it's about praise of God around his throne and about Jesus Christ there at the throne too. All about praising God. Then you start getting into some of the trumpets, and then before you get to the seals, now you get all of heaven and all of creation praising God in chapter 7 with all of God's people. And then you go on and you get to the next part, and then you get this another intermission all about God being praised by all of creation. And then you do that again, and then you do that again, and then you do that again. Revelation is all about God being praised, about his glory going out, being seen, being known, and being praised by his creation. All of Revelation. Listen, because we praise him, because no matter what's going on in the world, we're saved. We're his. And so we give him the glory, we give him the praise. We praise him for the power that's been revealed and experienced going out to the whole entire world by the power of his command. Listen, even the command, even the gospel going out has been empowered by his command to go. And guess what happens in the power of his command? People get saved. People are able to respond to the gospel. And when people respond to the gospel in faith, it results in praise. But not praise to mankind, praise to the only one who deserves it. Because God's glory and God's praise is going on right now in heaven and will continue forever. You just have to decide if you want to be part of praising him, right? Or praising yourself. Now there's a time that every knee is going to bow and confess and proclaim. So even those who lift themselves up, even those who don't worship him, will praise him. But it's not a salvation praise. It's a praise because in the end, when he is revealed, nobody and anything, can't do anything but praise him. Even if you're being punished, you have to praise him. That's the power of God. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to the one who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Listen, church. Christ is being glorified. Christ will be glorified. The question is, are you a part of the praise and glory of God? And you say, yes, I am. Well, then go backwards. Are you being obedient to that faith? Because you say, I'm praising God, and we know that we can't praise God. The scripture's clear. You can't even praise God unless the Holy Spirit of God tells you, convinces you, shows you, right? We can't proclaim the name of Jesus unless he reveals it. And that proclaiming the name, it doesn't mean you can't say Jesus. It just means you can't praise him or worship him. You can't truly say, Jesus is my Savior. That's what it's saying. So if Jesus is your Savior, the next question is, and it always comes to this, first of all, is Jesus my Savior? Next, am I being obedient to him? Not that, okay, here's the thing. It's been established, you will praise him. You will praise him at the end. Where we get stuck is right here on the middle one. Now, I'm not going to just lift the middle finger because we'll get in trouble. And I don't intend that, so we'll just, right? The middle one is the obedience. The obedience, are you being obedient to him? I was talking to a gentleman at another church, and he says, well, I just have to wait on the Lord. Here's the truth. Obedience is to evangelize. Obedience is to take the gospel, is to share the gospel. And you're like, well, I'm not a preacher. Here's the thing. Your obedience is, are you being the part to make sure the gospel's going out? This gentleman was telling me, well, I just have to wait on the Lord, and I have to wait for him to confirm it. He's confirmed it, church. We are responsible to take the gospel to the world. That's what he's called us to. Well, yeah, but I don't know how that looks exactly. What do you mean? Are you being a hindrance to that? You say, well, I'm not exactly getting in the way. Well, here's the thing. If you are saved by Christ and you're not doing your part, you are a hindrance to the gospel going out. Nobody wants to be called a sinner. Nobody wants to be called this. Here's the thing. Are you being disobedient? The truth of the gospel is this. He hasn't called you to serve yourself. He hasn't called you to live a life of luxury. He's called you to be obedient to him. And only in him will you truly enjoy the things that he gives you to enjoy. But if you're stuck and caught up in possessions, if you're stuck and caught up in your own comfort, if you're stuck and caught up thinking God is here to serve you, you've missed it, and you're disobedient, and you're being a hindrance to the gospel going out. Some people say, well, I want to use my gift, but I'm going to use it this way, and you don't get to set the rules in obedience to Christ. Well, I don't like when the pastor says this. Guess what? The pastor is the authority God has established over you in this setting. It's in the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get to ask clarifying questions. Doesn't mean that, because here's the deal. Okay. Are you listening to Christ, pastor? You get to ask that question. Because the pastor's not above you, but he's been established as the authority over this kingdom outpost. And so when he puts a leadership here, when the leadership says something, it's okay to say, well, is that biblical? That's okay, and you should. But once it's proven biblical, what you feel about the situation is no longer relevant. When you're called to be obedient, you're called to be obedient. It's the truth. And I talked last week on Easter about, here's the thing. You don't have to do everything. You just have to do what you're supposed to do. That's it. God's not calling anybody to be everything. Obedience to Christ is to being what he's called you to be. And there's different gifts. Man, when we get into it, like, some are preachers. Some are teachers. Some are givers. Some are prayers. Some are, like, there's this whole body that we are together. And so, man, if you're a prayer warrior, then you should be here when we pray as a congregation on Tuesdays. Maybe you should be here praying before service starts. Maybe you should be here praying through Bible study. Maybe you should, right? Like, I'm a prayer warrior. I just don't use it at, you know, the local Kingdom Outpost. That's disobedience. It's disobedience. This is his church, but since you're his, this is your church. And so what he's given you as far as a gift is to be used here. And so, church, I just ask, are you being obedient? Are you being obedient? And if you're not being obedient, just here's a simple question. Ask the Lord why. You probably don't have to. He probably already told you, but just ask him. Just ask him. Just ask him. Let's bow our heads. Father, you call us to salvation. So we want to thank you that you've provided salvation through the shed blood of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you would face the cross for me. And that in so doing, and by me placing my faith and my trust in you, Lord, I get to ask you to help me to live it out. Lord, I get to ask you to show me where I need to be obedient. Lord, we praise you for salvation. We praise you for obedience. We praise you that, Lord, you call us to salvation, that you call us to obedience, that you call us to praise. And so, Father, show us where we need to be obedient so that we can truly praise you, so that we can understand what it means to praise you. Father, so that we can truly give you all of the glory, for yours is the glory alone. And so, Lord, we pray and we ask for your help. We ask for your wisdom, since you are the only wise one. We ask for your power, since you're the only powerful one. And so, Lord, just move on us. Change us. Rid us of everything that needs to be taken away, cast off, forsaken, fled from, Lord, and put in us obedience and purity and holiness. Lord, put yourself in us, and Holy Spirit, move us and change us and empower us for your glory and your glory alone. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Church, make sure you hang out, talk to somebody, grab some coffee, have a good time, but I have to call you one more time. Whatever you need to be obedient to, just surrender to that right now. Maybe you're here and you're like, okay, Lord, I just need some clarity. I need some clarification. That's okay. But don't keep asking for clarification when he's clarified it. Just be obedient, okay? Amen? All right. Hey, pray for each other. All right? All right. Who's the deacon of the week? Call somebody.